Hey, I'm live. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I'm here alone for a moment. I'm thinking Lisa's going to be in a minute. I don't know if she's having computer problems or something else, but either way, here I am. Today, I thought we would talk about the silent treatment and the related stuff with narcissists. I apologize for my tardiness today. Hello, everybody. Let's talk about it. I'm going to have to be watching for, oh, there she is. Lisa's with us. Hold on. Let me bring her in real quick. Yay. Okay, here we go. She's on her way. There she is. Okay. Lisa, if you can just unmute yourself and there you go. Perfect. Sorry about that. I was realizing I was so behind schedule and I thought, oh my gosh. Okay.
No, totally. My computer and then I couldn't get your message. Anyway. Hi.
I wondered about that. I saw your thing pop down. Anyway, okay, cool. Well, here we are. Yay.
Hi.
All right. So luckily we discussed beforehand what we were talking about. So let's just get rolling. So welcome back, everybody. And to those of you who are new around here, let me just give you the quick rundown of what we're doing here. Every Tuesday, I go live. Usually, well, this particular live previously with Dana Morningstar, and she'll be back in a couple weeks. But for now, Lisa's filling in here, and we're going to go over to Fridays in a couple weeks when Dana comes back. All right, so who is Lisa? She is my partner at Queen Being. She is also a narcissistic abuse recovery expert. If you don't know her, you're going to love her. And you will be able to see her over on her channel on YouTube anytime, Lisa Colucci, Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Support, I believe is the whole name, but just type in her name, Lisa Colucci. I will link her channel here as well when this goes live. Thank you to my admin team. I appreciate y'all and hello to everyone else. So real quick, if you are interested in participating in these streams in the future, you can subscribe to my channel, subscribe to Lisa's channel. And if you're looking for a backup way to be notified, you can, in fact, I forgot to send out my notifications. I'm sorry. We'll talk about that next week. All right, moving right along. Sorry, everybody. I totally skipped notifications today. This is what happens to me when I don't think. All right, Alpha Mom, if you can do your usual announcements, that would be great. In chat, let's just jump right in here. All right, silent treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people say, is this really abuse? I believe that it is abuse. Let's talk about it. So, Lise.
Yes.
Have you had the silent treatment before?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? What was it like for you?
What's it like? Well, it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. It gives you this feeling of needing to get a response and makes you feel, it's like you're walking on eggshells, even though there's no words going on. It's painful. It for some people and for myself, it makes me want to force the person to talk. Instead of, you know, I had to learn to just use the silence as a better thing. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. And I think what I have, before I understood what it was really about and why they were doing it, I did exactly that. Just like you did. I'm sure once you understood, you did.
Once I understood, totally different. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And this is part of why we do what we do, so we can help people understand. Mm-hmm. So, for me, I think it was probably one of the worst forms of torture because you just didn't know. Sometimes you didn't even know why they were giving you the silent treatment. And with narcissists, I think it's especially bad. So there are a couple of different things we're going to unpack today. We're going to talk about why the silent treatment is abuse. It's an emotional abuse. We're going to talk about what you can do to resolve it. And what else? What was the other thing I was going to say? I can't even remember. We're going to talk about silent treatment. All right. So let's talk about why it's abuse. So emotional abuse in general is it's inflicting emotional pain on someone on purpose as a punishment or otherwise. And would you add to that definition, please?
Well, it actually is received in the pain center of your brain. So the way who's receiving the silent treatment actually has their brain firing off signals that pain is happening.
Yeah.
They've done MRI studies and shown that this is what happens. is abuse. It's physically feels abusive.
Yep. And I think a lot of us can relate. Let me know in the chat right now, guys. Can you relate to the idea of the physical? It almost feels like physical abuse. I mean, not directly, yeah. but the same part of your brain is affected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very, yeah. So let us know in the chat if you can relate to that idea. And what was the, so I wanted to bring a specific thing. Oh, anyway, all over the place today. It's been a weird day. So I did not, we've got quite a few things in the chat. Okay. So let us know, do you have questions about the silent treatment? Have you experienced it? Lisa and I have both recently released videos on this topic where mm-hmm. I'm sure we're a lot more eloquent than we are being today. Well, than I'm being today. I can't blame her. It's all me. Okay, so Classy Cleaner says, I lived with a silent narcissist, only found out 3 weeks ago. So interesting. You know, that is what I hear a lot. I think the thing about the silent treatment is that I think it might be more common in covert narcissists. Would you agree with that? The silent treatment, please. Did I lose her? Can you hear me?
Is it you or is it me? I can't tell. I can never tell who's.
I can't tell. Anyway, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Live streams, what are you going to do?
Deal with technology.
I know. Now I'm all over the place. Okay. Let's just jump in the chat, shall we?
Sure.
Just easier. Oh, so Classy Cleaner said, I lived with a silent narcissist, only found out 3 weeks ago. So interesting. And what I said was, do you think that, have you noticed or do you feel that silent treatment is more common in a covert narcissist as opposed to a more grandiose type?
Mm-hmm.
In your experience? I mean, I think I've seen it in both ways, but it seems like a more go-to for a covert, at least in my experience. And the reason I say that is because, well, you can very loudly give the silent treatment, right? can you still hear me? I think we're having technical issues today. All right. Yeah. So in my experience, I've seen it. I don't even know if it's me or Lisa. I'm going to guess it's her because I think she's frozen on the screen. Lisa, let me know when you can hear me again.
Can I hear you? Can you hear me now? I just,
yeah.
Okay. I don't know what is going on.
It's just one of those days. We're doomed. I'm just kidding. I forgot to send out the notifications. We're having a rough day. I'm sorry, guys. All right, so.
It's silent treatment. It's Zoom's fault.
Dang it, Zoom. Okay.
Yeah.
Covert narcissist silent treatment. Do you think it's more common for them or no?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. It's more prolonged for them. Like, yes. I think they do it in a different way that is more extended. I mean, I'm sure overts do it too, but it's a little bit more dramatic when they do it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. We have a question from Wendy. Hello, Wendy. She says, what are the signs that you are discarded permanently or are receiving? Basically she's saying, how do you know if you're being discarded permanently or they're just giving you the silent treatment? Any thoughts on that?
You're discarded permanently when you go no contact.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with that. And on top of that, I would say that every silent treatment is a discard. It is also a discard. Maybe it's not a permanent,
mm-hmm.
but in the cycle of narcissistic abuse, you are discarded over and over again. You know, mm-hmm. it rotates. And if you're, say, in a decades long relationship, you've been discarded probably hundreds or thousands of times. Maybe sometimes you're discarded every day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's difficult. It's difficult to say whether it's that. I guess what Lee said is accurate. I mean, when you go no contact, that's when you're permanently discarded. I mean, you could even go so far as to get divorced if you're married to one of these people and they can come back. What did we lose ourselves?
Can you hear me?
We have a bad time.
I'm showing a stable connection and I don't understand what's happening.
Do you want to try popping out and popping back in maybe?
Yeah. Bye. Okay. Bye. How do I do it? I just
just hit leave and then you can go back to that link. I see.
Okay, bye.
Okay, sorry about that, guys. We're just having some technical difficulties today. All right, so while we wait for Lise to come back, Wendy, I hope that answers your question. And again, I'm so sorry for all of this technical difficulty we're having today. Hello. Hey, Bonnie, welcome back. Blue Moon, Mystique, hey, everybody. Okay, Allison says her mother is a narcissist and she told me she doesn't like me. Wow, that is really difficult. And you know what? I have experienced personally something very similar. And it's terrible. It's a horrible, painful place to be. But let me just say this to you, Allison, this is absolutely not your fault. You cannot help someone else's, I guess, I look at it like this. When I am in a situation where I am trying to make sense of it, the thing that has helped me the most is to recognize the signs and how they are different, how narcissists are almost disabled, right? And I mean that emotionally. They're almost emotionally disabled because they are unable to love you in the same way that a normal person would. I try to recognize their limitations. And it doesn't make me necessarily feel sorry for them per se, but it does put me in a difficult, it helps me to understand that it's not my fault. And I hope that helps you to understand as well. Okay. I'm interested in knowing more about that name change, Jack. We'll talk about that later. Rhonda says, I've been doing this for 3 years. Am I crazy? I keep going back after the silent treatment, love bombing, etc. Are you crazy? No. Are you human? Yes. Sounds to me like you're trauma bonded. It's very difficult to resist love bombing, especially when we're talking about a narcissist who is especially good at it. I mean, I cannot even begin to tell you how even someone who understands and has been there, I mean, if I wasn't careful, I could probably fall into it. I'm guessing Lisa's having a bad connection today. So I guess y'all are stuck with me. I'm so sorry, but I'm not seeing her back online yet. So I'm just going to, Lisa, if you're watching this, just text me on Facebook when you come back. So I'll see. All right, let me get focused. So Ron, I know you're not crazy. I think you're trauma bonded. I think that's what you're dealing with. All right. And yes, absolutely. My silent treatment can feel very much like solitary confinement. And Michelle, it is scary because I think what happens is you're just in limbo. Limbo is the worst place to be, right? With a narcissist. I can't tell you how many people I know who are actually in limbo right this minute because they are being held there by a narcissist in one way or another. I know exactly how that feels. Okay. Yeah, exactly, Jack. I do. I am also the daughter of one of those people. Yeah, Dana has not been live for a while. I do believe, Fatima, that she is okay. She is kind of dealing with some travel and some different issues, but she will be back the second week of August. Okay, Lisa's back. Yay. Welcome back, girl.
You can see that one.
All right. You having some internet trouble today?
I must be. I don't know why, but okay.
We all have our days. Glad you're back. All right. Good. I'm glad it didn't make me. I was worried. I kept watching to try to get you back in. Okay, we're back on track. Okay. Are you in chat or are you just on Zoom right now?
I'm just on. I'd have to join from my phone. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we want to make it easy for you, so we'll just okay. Charlotte says I had headaches and felt drained with the silence going on after a while. And that makes total sense given what Lise mentioned about it affecting that part of your brain, that pain center, right? Mm-hmm. And we see this a lot with survivors, silent treatment and otherwise. People end up, I've talked about this a lot, where if you look at the population of narcissistic abuse survivors versus the general population, okay, they're just in my own community and Lise's, our shared community, we have a significantly larger amount of people who are dealing with things like chronic pain and mm-hmm. fibromyalgia. And in fact, at least you have fibromyalgia, don't you? Mm-hmm. Can I say that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't mean to share your medical information. I'm so sorry. anyway. My
connection, man, I can barely.
Okay. It's okay just if
keep,
you.
Just keep talking. I'll listen. I'll just not make weird faces.
make weird faces. It's okay, but just jump in if you hear something that okay, because I feel weird just talking about myself. Okay.
No. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let us move on. Time to let Fatima know is going up. Okay. Yes. Silent treatment is very painful. Bonnie, you're so right. And I know, I'll tell you something. It's one of those things that makes you feel completely alone in the world. And if you guys experienced it the way that I did, what I would do is I would just kind of go into a little cocoon because I didn't want to talk to anybody about it. I didn't know who would understand. It's so unnatural, especially when you're living in the same house with that person. It feels like absolute torture, right? Michelle says, what if you go no contact? It still makes me paranoid when it goes quiet. If you go no contact, then you take control, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself in the power position, but you have to sometimes forcefully go no contact. And I mean, go so far as to change your phone number and get all new social media accounts and lock them down tight, you know, and with some of them, some of them won't push so hard, but they're, you know, depending on maybe where they're at on the spectrum, going no contact is definitely one way you can take control of the situation. And it is the only way to really ensure that you're done with them. You know, of course, that's not always possible because we have situations where we share children or there are other legal issues involved. We work with them sometimes and we can't get another job right away. So dealing with them is incredibly difficult. But if you know what you're dealing with, I personally find it a little bit more helpful than if you don't, because using people-pleasing behaviors and things like that will only empower them. But there are ways that you can teach them, and we can talk about that another day. I've done videos before about how you can work with them if you need to, but it's not a way to live. It's a temporary solution when you use those things, including Grey Rock,
mm-hmm.
Right? Can you hear better now? Or are you still kind of jumping around there?
I heard, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, I was gonna say that if going no contact doesn't make necessarily the pain and how did she word it? Agitation or feeling of anxiety go away.
Anxiety, stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes often working through your own healing, breaking the trauma, riding out the discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're used to is to having the silent treatment, and then what happens is your brain chemistry changes because of the silent treatment. And mm-hmm. as the brain chemistry changes, it's waiting for the thing that makes the resolution. So as you see, which is your cortisol's rising, your dopamine's rising, everything's rising, and there's no resolution. You're right. used to the silent treatment breaking. And so and they have to find things that'll replace it in a healthy way so that you can get the relief elsewhere and not go turn back to the thing that's bad for you and toxic for you in order to find that relief. So it's not like going no contact makes the feelings of silent treatment instantly go away like magic. It takes a while to get used to and to like adjust to the new way of being. And you have to ride through the discomfort often. And don't do it. Just be like, yeah, okay, I'm uncomfortable right now. It's going to be uncomfortable today. You know, sometimes just accepting it and riding through can make it kind of not have as much of a hold on you.
Yeah. And when you understand what you're dealing with, you can literally, well, once I understood what I was dealing with, what I started to do was enjoy the silent treatment.
Oh, heck yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because you don't want the other end of it, which is I remember when I told the narcissist that the silent treatment, I said, stop giving me silent treatment. I looked it up and it is abuse. So I never got the silent treatment much anymore. What I got instead was endless monologues.
Those are the worst. I call that a narcissist.
And I thought, why did I? This is so much worse. And I had to sit there and listen. So basically it forced me into silence while mm-hmm. they monologued for, yes. And they'd say things like, and you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. Those were like the same words. It was word salad. Mm-hmm. It was insanity, right? And you're just sitting there.
Oh, yes.
Why did I say that about the site? Because they had to prove they weren't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I experienced the same thing. I called that the narcissistic filibuster because, you know, it was so like, I would have much preferred the silent treatment. And I know not everyone feels that way, but that those filibusters, man, they're terrible. Yeah. And I would just, that's when I accidentally discovered Grey Rock, by the way. It was not my original concept, but discovered that I could just go off in my happy place. I got so mentally and emotionally exhausted by that behavior, which is the opposite of the behavior we're talking about here, but is, I think, almost worse. It was worse for me personally. I would have much preferred silent treatment over that.
Oh yeah.
That was my person's go-to many times. yeah, it was awful. Yeah. Now Bonnie says silent treatment is abusive and very immature, which is 100% true. Yes. Classy Cleaner says 14 years this has been going on. Yeah, I feel you. And Classy Cleaner says, I have a huge story. I feel you. I think a lot of us have some pretty shocking stories here and there. Allison says, I got told that I couldn't do something because, and please again, jump in anytime. I'm not trying to make you not be a part of this.
That's okay. It's so unstable. I'm so unstable today.
Ooh, no, you're not. Just your sister. Just your connection.
Me, it's my connection.
Oh, this is so funny. Okay. I appreciate everyone's patience, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Allison says, I got told I couldn't do something because I was different by my mother. Oh, yes. I can relate to that. I was told a lot of very similar things, Allison, directly and indirectly. Yeah. Not good enough. Not a whole person, not a real person, not as important as anyone else, that kind of stuff. Definitely. Lise, any experience or thoughts on that?
Being told you're not a whole person.
Well, or being told you can't do something or anything, you know, because of your toxic parent doesn't like you or it has.
Oh yeah. I mean, the toxic mother in particular is a skilled disabler. They are really skilled at making you dependent on them because of the things you're not good enough at. You're incapable of, you're not good enough for, you're unstable, huh? You're this, you're that. And it makes you turn to them and then they're needed and then they have a control of you.
Yep. Without question. Yep. Mm-hmm. Charlotte says, mine would ignore me to punish me and tell me that's why, hoping I had a chance to. Basically, I think what Charlotte's saying, it's a little bit confusing with the wording, but I think maybe some typos in there are autocorrects. But what I think Charlotte is saying is that she was ignored by her narcissist. And they later would say, well, I was punishing you and hoping you had a chance to think about what you did.
Oh, yes. I've heard that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, this is the kind of, and you know, that used to peeve me right off with my ex acting like he was my parent. And then in the next breath, you know, I would be his mom because he couldn't do anything for himself. Like, are you kidding me with this? Anyway,
they do use the silent treatment as punishment. And right there, she said it out loud, or he, whoever she said it was, a mom. Yeah, they do use it as punishment. That's what that's its main function.
Absolutely.
It gets a fabulous supply.
Yep. Fabulous. Yep. Yeah. Because then you're doing everything in your power to try to, you know, bring them back in.
Oh, so that you're crying, you're yelling, you're in a state of reactive abuse, you're in a state of silence yourself and marching off. There's nothing you can do to a silent treatment that isn't supply. That's the problem.
Exactly.
Right. I learned it, you know, that I know. Yeah.
Yeah. I learned accidentally that one thing you can do that really peeves them right off is pretend not to notice.
Oh yeah. There
you know,
like, and right, like, off, right? Yeah.
You know, and if normally, like, you would ask them what they want for dinner, you could walk over to them and you could be like, so what are you having for dinner? We're having this or this tonight. And if they don't respond, you go, okay, well, I guess we'll have this, and pick the thing they don't like as well. You know, little things like that. And this, again, is only if you're not in a physically abusive situation. I would never recommend messing with anyone. I mean, I don't think you should ever mess with anyone's head anyway. And if possible, the ideal solution is to get out. And what I did describe just now was me being a little bit immature, but it worked. They always talk to me. Anyway, but again, everyone's different and every situation is different. So Lise, again, feel free to throw in your thoughts. I'm not trying to in any way.
No, you're good.
Okay. All right. Now let's see here. Oh, Now my chat just jumped way down. Okay, let me get back where I was. It's coming. All right, I'm just gonna jump in where I'm at. How about that? Okay, we have red. Oh, here we go. Oh, I see. All right, Red Riding Hood said, Red Headed Riding Hood. I love that name. So that's a great name. Yeah, says I have 5 kids with my narcissist, and he kept me in check by not allowing me to work. And being in the Baptist church, I wouldn't divorce as it was not allowed, and I couldn't survive alone with my kids. Mm. Oh, honey, this is very, very common. They on purpose trap you, because then you can't leave. Like, you just exactly what you're saying. And so he used your faith against you, and of course your children, and not allowing you to work. He kept you almost crippled in that situation, handicapped in that situation on purpose, because you couldn't leave. And I'm going to guess that you have now moved on, only because if that's you in the picture, that's definitely not a very Baptist look, but it's super cute. And also because you said past, I mean, you said kept instead of keeps. So Lise, any thoughts on using
religion? Yeah, it's the same thing that I just described the mother's doing. It keeps you
dependent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Yep. Let's see here. Jack says, Adrian's mother is running an extended smear campaign and socially isolating her. And yeah, this is a very difficult situation. And I've seen narcissists, when they go so far as to socially isolate you, and especially when you're in a small community, or you only have mostly associating with a certain group, depending on, you know, your family and your situation, I think this is the worst, because then not only, and this is kind of where I was, I mean, I wasn't exactly in a small community. I mean, I was, but not just a few people, but I still didn't know who was safe and who I could talk to. And those people that I could talk to would say things like, why don't you just leave then? Well, it's not always that easy, is it? No. You know, as we've just witnessed in a couple of different things. Any thoughts on that, Lise?
It's interesting how the smear work
facilitates it, right?
It is so effective at forcing silence. Often what they're trying to do is get ahead of you to force your silence. You don't reveal.
Yeah.
And even if you had no intention to,
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why And honestly, when it comes to the smear campaign, I mean, the best thing you can do is mostly stay quiet. I mean, what I tend to advise people is that if somebody comes to them and says, I heard this about you, then you tell them the truth one time, and you tell them, well, mm-hmm. This is only if it's somebody that you feel is worth your energy to do this with, mm-hmm. right? You say, well, this is what really happened. If you know me, you would know that I wouldn't do that. And if they don't like instantly get it, or they question and doubt you, then you take 2 emotional steps back from them until this is blowing over. And once it's blown over, then you decide if they get to stay in your life or not. Would you add any thoughts to, or advice, separate or similar?
Yeah, interesting. I was just talking to someone this morning. And the thing is, when you have a narcissist involved in anything, we get wrapped up in how it affects us. Mm-hmm. When we're in a relationship, or when they're our parent or whatever, how it affects us, but we have to remember that they are a narcissist to everyone.
Yes. And
they treat everybody differently depending on the type of supply they're gleaning, but mm-hmm. they are toxic across the board.
Yeah. And
so everyone involved, anyone that's involved in your community with them, is in what I called a pot of soup. Mm-hmm. And you can't make soup, add poison, which is the narcissist, and have healthy soup. Mm. So every now and then you're able to pull one item or another out of the soup, clean it off, detoxify it, and make it okay. But a lot of times everything gets mixed up with that talk. Allow the isolation and move on and change your life around.
Yeah.
Because I love people drop off that aren't willing to stand by your side.
Absolutely. I love the soup analogy. That is really good. I like that. I've never heard it before. That's awesome. I really like that. And then that's a really just incredibly good way to look at it. The carrot will not, you can't feed a carrot out of a pot of soup to a vegan if you had a ham bone in there or whatever.
Exactly. You can't wash the ham off the carrot. Yeah. Yeah. They affect everything. And often, but that isn't to say that some people aren't going to stand by your side, but you have to remember that the whole system that they've created around harem they're creating around them, if they're communal narcissists, that it's all no good for you. And unfortunately, we lose a lot of people in the process, but maybe not so unfortunately if we to move on and find other people, right?
I absolutely agree. And I think there's such a significant point that you've made there, because I want to bring up another related point, is that when a lot of times when we discover one of them around us, I would bet that 90 to 95% of my clients have come back and said, and now there's another one.
Oh yeah.
And there's that one. And there's, you know, people start to notice them once they recognize the first one.
Right. I often talk to people in the same, talking them through all the losses, you know, of one after another.
Yeah. It's hard.
It is hard. Mm-hmm.
And personally, I unfortunately have a very small inner circle, as you know, Lise. But it's not a bad thing, because you know what? Quality over quantity, baby.
That's right.
All day. Yes. All right. Let's see here. Jack says, I personally wish my mother would just stop talking sometimes. She unleashes TMFI bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Too much effing information, I'm going to assume, on his wife and him when they least expect it. He says, but yeah, she says crazy stuff out in the open. Yeah, and I think that is unfortunate, and that is exactly what a lot of us have experienced. Here's a funny story for y'all. Maybe I shouldn't tell this story. I'm gonna tell it anyway, here it goes. So when I was young and I had just separated from my ex-husband, who was very toxic, my mother, who was also toxic, but I hadn't recognized that yet, and I were somewhere, and somebody came up and asked my mother if her grandson, my oldest son, was of another race, you know, and she said, we have no idea. Now, I know exactly who the child's father was, obviously, but she said, we don't know for sure. And I thought, I was horrified and embarrassed, not because of the race issue, but because of the fact that my mother pretended we didn't know who my child's father was. You understand? And it was just a devastating and horrifying situation for me. Talk about like a mini smear campaign. There were hundreds of people around. It was bad. It was a big event. Anyway, so my point is, yeah, they do that. They throw stuff out there that isn't even, that was not even remotely, that was never, there was never a question. You know what I'm saying? Like, anyway, I don't know if you heard that story, Elise. Are you still here? I think we lost these.
I'm so frozen.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like trying not to make a look of a lost deer. But...
Oh my goodness gracious. It's always
what
fun.
What's happening? I don't understand. I've got my wire plugged in. I don't know.
I don't think it happens to me sometimes too. Sometimes we just have a chat.
Glitchy, yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. So did you hear the story about the, well, anyway, we'll come back to that. Okay.
Not enough of it to hear the funny story. Just,
oh, well, the funny part was that my mother claimed she didn't. She said, somebody asked my mother, is my child biracial, basically? And my mother said, we have no idea.
Oh.
Which was not true. We knew who the father was. So we did know. You know what I'm saying?
Why? Yeah. Why?
And she said it in front of hundreds of people. So it was a bad thing. It embarrassed me very much. Anyway, because she pretended she didn't know. We're moving on. Okay. Brandy says, I've got two kids with him and it's been hard to leave, but I've gone no contact. Well, good for you for going no contact. Are you struggling with like visits, or is he not part of their life? I would ask you on that. Oh, KV says, I wonder if narcissistic parents is a primary cause of fibromyalgia. Well, I will say this. Like I mentioned, fibromyalgia is more common in our community, as is chronic pain and several other different things. And I can't say 100%. I can't say it's for sure, but I do know I've done some research and I understand that there is a possible connection. I try to avoid saying that it's directly connected to emotional abuse or narcissistic abuse because I don't want to cause any trouble for those who have fibromyalgia, because there has been talk among our community of insurance companies denying stuff and not paying for things they need. And this is in the past, because I've been doing this for a long time, but I don't want to cause any trouble for anybody. At least, do you have any thoughts on that?
I only heard part of it, but I know, I mean, it is, if you get inflammation in the brain, you're going to start having issues, brain fog, pain issues. Your fibromyalgia has something to do in your nerves react to the pain neurons or something in the body and all the fibers of the body. And if there's inflammation, it makes sense that there would be some correlation. And the reason there's inflammation is your cortisol levels rise. And your cortisol levels rise because you are in a constant state of stress from your relationship or from your past relationship that you're unable to process the trauma through. And that's one reason I really like healing through the body a lot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. I just found, Jen Smith says, yeah, I had headaches and I was also drained after the silent treatment. This from Sugar Shock. I love this. And I just want to say, this is really great. Ask yourself this question. I want all of you to ask yourself this question. I'm about to ask myself this question too. On your deathbed, do you want someone else's life flashing before your eyes? That is the best question I've heard all day. I want to ask myself this question every day because is it not good? I mean, guys, tell me your thoughts on that question. Lise, any thoughts on that question?
Before I say that, I wanted to back to the other thing real quick.
Yes.
Somebody said to me today, she said, I had a narcissistic hangover. And I'm like, that is the best phrase ever. She says, yeah, it's 2 days during silence and the just the gaslighting that went on over the weekend. It takes an extra 2 days to recover. It's like a hangover from the narcissism. So
I think, yeah, that's powerful.
Great too. Yeah. I don't want to see somebody else's life flashing before my eyes. Well, yeah, because I mean, when you're with a narcissist, you spend all of your life managing down the events.
Yes, 100%. I literally felt like I was like a supporting player in the lives of those people and not the star of my own show. Yeah.
Exactly. Not even a cast member in your own show. You're more like the behind the scenes person that orchestrates so the actors can get in and do their
part. Yeah, you got the food table, you got the costumes, pay all the bills, do all the things. Yeah, that was me. Yeah, that's really a powerful question. And I want to come back to your thing. I'm sorry, we're going back and forth.
It's okay. They were both related sort of.
Yeah. Well, what you said, yeah, about the narcissistic hangover, I swear to God, I think I was in a narcissistic hangover for many years because every time I was always emotionally exhausted. Mm-hmm. I got to this point where I could not, like when they were not there, I was literally almost staring at a wall.
Yeah.
I could not function. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Everything, my whole life fell apart. It was really bad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to even get out of that, right? When you get away, you have to figure out how to start again, almost from nothing.
And I even now I have to, when I get tired or when I get, like yesterday, I was really tired because we had a really busy weekend and it wasn't bad stuff. There was some stress involved. There was a lot of good fun and there was a lot of work and doing all weekend. Mm-hmm. So I was tired. So Monday, instead of just being tired and plugging through the day, like I think I should be able to for the most part, because I wasn't that tired.
Right.
I went into this, like, I found myself staring at walls and like right back into that trauma response, into the survivor response. And I had to force myself up. Okay, go take a walk. Get in the shower. Okay, go do the self-care in the most basic ways. And then once I got in the groove, I was fine. But it lingers into your life because it's a conditioned response to the trauma.
Truly. Yeah. And that I want to do a whole video about that. I really think that's a real deal. And I know it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, but what you said is what we do and what we should do in those situations, because I too still today have that response to stress. I go numb and I stare at the wall.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that dissociative.
Yes. You
know? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing for everyone here, you know, I personally have been out for a long time. Lisa has been out for quite some time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and knowing even what we do for a living, okay, right. We still have those moments. So you have to understand that it doesn't just go away, mm-hmm. but you learn to cope and you decide, like Lisa said, you get up and you take the walk and you take the shower and you do the things mm-hmm. because that's how you keep going. And when you do that enough times, like we've talked about before, that changes those connections in your brain. I mean, at least it improves them, right?
At least you know you're doing it. At least you catch yourself. Like I caught myself curled up and I went, oh, I'm doing it. That's not probably where
yes.
I have to get stuff done. So I had to set some goals and I had to, you know, I had to really coach myself through it.
I've done the same. And I'll tell you something else. I know you and I both coached each other through a couple moments ourselves.
We have.
Back and forth, you know, and the thing is, getting yourself self-awareness, right, is where it really starts. Because mm-hmm. when you get to that place where you're just like, now I'm going to tell you another thing. Sometimes when I cannot get myself to do all the things, I tell myself, okay, that's fine. You get one day or you get 30 minutes or you get mm-hmm. an hour, whatever it is. And then I allow myself to be that person for that long. And then I go, okay, that's it. Time to get up and do the thing.
There's acceptance in that. You sometimes just accepting that's where I'm at. And taking
you need it. Yeah.
Either a little bit, because I mean, if you're truly exhausted and you're emotionally drained, then you are.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? But you're right though. It really does help to get up. But again, one of the things that I learned the really hard way was I spent so much of my life trying to do what others needed me to do, trying to be what they needed me to be. And I realized that cannot be me. I cannot, mm-hmm. I was substandard being not me. Right. And so one of the things I know about myself, and this might be partially related to my ADHD as well, because I become overwhelmed by certain things, which I also think my ADHD is connected to trauma, but we'll talk about that another day. But I think that now I'm off track. What I notice is that I have to give myself grace, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I have to go, it's okay. Sometimes it's okay. Mm-hmm. Now I never leave a client hanging. I try not to miss streams, mostly. I try not to do things that are hurting other people, always. You know, if my kid needs me, I am there. I don't care how, you know, against the wall I am, right? But when it comes down to, you know, am I going to make a video that day? And if I can't do it, I can't do it. That's it. You know what I'm saying? If it comes down to, you know, so that's kind of what I'm saying. There are certain...
Yeah, I talked. I'm sorry. I can't tell when you're
done. That's okay.
Like,
go ahead.
Freezing. I'm like, is she done?
I'm good. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I do talk to a lot of people who get stuck feeling like they can't do anything in their life.
Yeah.
You know, and what you're just that feeling. Only you have found a way, and I also have found very similar ways to be accountable to the things you need to be.
Yes.
Things except that when you get that way, you're still a trauma survivor. We have CPTSD, whether no matter yeah. how old we are, we live with it, okay?
Right.
And you can only do so much. Sometimes there is acceptance and allowing, and then there's being accountable and being responsibilities.
Yes,
so it's finding how to fit it in and how to allow it, you know, how not to feel bad, how to just allow it when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. And on that same note, giving yourself, you know, you have to remember, especially when one of your parents or both of your parents were among your abusers. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have to give yourself what they didn't. Right. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think about the way I treat my children versus the way I was treated. I think about, you know, and I think about their feelings mm-hmm. and since they were tiny babies, have reminded myself every day, this is a whole ass person right here. They're not part of me. They're not an extension of me. They were once part of me for 9 months or whatever, you know, all the time before that when they were little eggs or whatever, right? But that's not, that doesn't, I don't get to run their lives. I mean, I get to help them figure it all out on this, for this 18 year period or whatever. And I'm always going to be there for them no matter what, but they choose who they are, not me. They choose what they want and how their life goes. And I just hope and try to direct them in a healthy, non harmful fashion. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that is totally different than what I experienced. And I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm just saying, my point is this, I respected my children more than I respected myself for a long time.
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Right. And so when I got to that place where one day I thought, wait a minute, you know, yes, I do think my children are better than me. I'm not going to lie to y'all because I want them to be better than me. I want them to have better and do better than me. But when it all comes down to it, I was a baby. I was a human like them. You know what I'm saying? When I was born and then I became a whole person, but I didn't know I was a whole person until I was literally like 35 years old because I was taught otherwise. And so at that point, then I reparented myself. I went through the whole process. And when you think about this, this is something I want you guys to hear today. If you haven't heard it yet, when you go through a narcissistic abuse situation growing up, you have toxic parents, and then you get into a relationship with a narcissist, or even if you had normal, healthy parents, and then you got into a relationship with a narcissist and it's a long one, you forget. I think it's mostly when parents are involved, right? But you forget to take care of yourself. You don't even know to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. So what I do, I got a little off track, but what I do for myself now is anytime I doubt myself or anytime I have to make a choice or a decision, I ask myself, what would I tell my children? Because I love them unconditionally. And because of my stance on that, I would definitely speak differently to them than I would to myself, right? Mm-hmm. And that's still true today. And that's why now, whenever I have an issue where I have to stop and think about something, do I do this or do I do that? Or what should I do? I stop and I go, wait a minute. What if my son came to me and said, this is what I'm dealing with. What should I do? What if my daughter came to me? You know, and I've even used this to, I've told my children the same, like, if you doubt yourself, you ask yourself what you would tell your brother or your sister or someone you love unconditionally. And then you go with that. Because we always, even my kids who I think are mostly healthy, we always want, as humans, we're not very nice to ourselves. But when we're raised by somebody who is not very nice to us, we'll just put it mildly, someone who's abusive to us, we continue that in our head, right? And it's even worse when we marry one or when we get in a partnership with one, and then we really don't believe that we deserve anything better. But if you ask yourself, what would my nephew or my niece or my daughter or my son or my best friend, anyone you love unconditionally, my cat over here, your pet, my cat's over here making noise. Anyway,
no, I can't.
Then you change your whole perception, right? Any thoughts, Lise?
Yes, that it's, oh, there was something. It was, you said you lived in it. Yes, but it's gone.
All right.
You know how it is. Wait, that was a good one.
Hey, but that happens. That happens to me all the time. All right. Yeah. Okay. That's why we like editing videos sometimes. I don't know.
I heard everything you said and then it glitched and then my head went on like, why does it keep doing this? And I forgot what I was going to say.
Yep.
I've been up 24 hours. So just
woman,
so
you know, sleep. I've been
can't.
No, we're going to talk about this.
I had puppies last night, remember?
Oh, that's right. Oh, they're so cute too.
I know. I didn't have them. I like physically myself, but yeah.
She has grand puppies. Okay. Oh my gosh. One of my clients says, this is the cutest thing I ever heard. Her daughter, adult daughter, brings her dog, her daughter's dog over, you know, and she goes, my granddogger is here.
My granddogger.
Granddogger. I love it so much. Okay. Lise, I just saw a notification that you have an appointment very shortly. So
I do. Yes.
I did. You do? Okay. So we should probably get ready to wrap up very shortly. Guys, I want to apologize again for our choppiness today and for our tardiness. We will definitely do better next week. I will be more prepared and we will have a better time with the connection. I've just decided to ask the internet gods to help us out. I'm just kidding on the gods part.
That was going on.
So we're going to wrap up for today.
I have a sinking suspicion someone's gaming.
Oh, been there. Had that happen to me. Yes. Okay. We're going to wrap up for now. Hufflemom, if you would please do our reminders. I apologize for not sending reminders this week. We've been all over the place off track today. Thank you for not unsubscribing.
You'd miss all the fun.
It would be far less fun without us. Right? Yeah. So thank you for being here, everybody. Thank you so much. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Hufflemom is going to share with you all the information about getting connected to us both here and on the text, which I promise not to miss again. Lise, please remind me to do the text in case I forget next week. Okay. Jack, you can remind me too. It's okay. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, Lise. I appreciate
you. Thank you.
All right. See you later.
Bye.